You're listening to the Hope United podcast, creating an atmosphere of worship, family, and discipleship. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit hopeunited.church.
Look at somebody and say, what does it mean to be the church? What does it mean to be the church? You know, what did Jesus start? What did Jesus begin? And what is our responsibility in that? Is there something we're meant to do together? What does it mean to be the church? Just look at somebody square in the face and ask them, what does it mean to be the church? Can I tell you that in today's day that the church is under fire? The concept of church, Christianity in general, are under fire. They're under fire by people that don't like what we're doing. People that don't even know why they don't like it. There's just spirits at work, forces at work, powers at work that make them, for whatever reason, not like what you and I are doing. Now, what does it mean to be the church? I want to share with you today out of Matthew 16:13. If you'll go with me in your Bibles, Matthew 16:13. I believe God has an answer for us. If you believe that, turn and tell somebody, God has an answer for us. What does the church, what does it mean to be the church? When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say that the Son of Man is? Well, they said, some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, and others say Jeremiah or one of the other prophets. Then he asked them a critical question, but who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And Jesus replied, you are blessed, Simon, son of John, because my Father in heaven has revealed this to you. You did not learn this from any human being. Now I say to you that you are Peter, which means rock. And upon this rock I will build my church, and all the powers of hell will not conquer it. And I will give you the keys to the kingdom. And whatever you forbid on earth will be forbidden in heaven. And whatever you permit on earth will be permitted in heaven. I believe God has something important to say to us about the identity of the church, about who we are. And so three things you need to know about this passage, and three things that are the answer to the question of what it means to be the church. Three things that jump out in this scripture are revelation, identity, and community. Revelation, identity, and community. You see, first, Peter had a revelation of who Jesus was. And his identity was revealed. And out of the identity of Jesus, community was commissioned. Peter had a revelation. That revelation revealed who Jesus was. And out of the identity of Jesus, community was commissioned. So when somebody asks you, what is the church? The answer somehow corresponds around these three elements. Revelation, identity, and community. Just say it with me one time. Revelation, identity, and community. Revelation reveals identity, and identity builds community. You know, when I was growing up as a pastor's son, I asked a lot of hard questions. You know, pastor's kids do that. We ask hard questions. We're professional hard question askers about the church. Why do we do this? Well, why do we do that? And now I got two of my own, so I get a little taste of my own medicine. They ask me hard questions. And I know I must have wore my father out with questions. And there's a lot of questions that go around these days that are being asked, and some aren't really being answered well. A lot of questions about the church. And I'm not really intimidated by questions because I probably ask all the questions, or most all the questions that could be asked about church, why we do it. and why do we do this? Why do we not do that? And so I'm not intimidated by that. One of the things that I love about this next generation is they ask questions that need to be asked. It's all right to ask questions as long as you get the right answer, because the right answer will lead you back to Scripture. The right answer will lead you back to the origins of your faith. And so, you know, the right answer, why is it so important? Because if you get the wrong answer, you won't be led back to the place that you need to go. The problem comes when we ask questions of the Word of God, and we ask questions of the character of God, and we ask questions of the vision that Christ gave for His church, and we get a half-baked answer, or we get a half-thought-out cultural idiom. That's where we get in trouble. Because there's many things that are floating around in popular culture that are completely incorrect, completely unfounded, unhistorical, unscriptural, but people grab a hold of these things and they run with them as the truth. But it's not the truth. We have to have the right answers. Could somebody say right answers? One of the questions that I know bangs around in a lot of people's minds, and maybe you have friends that have this question, maybe it's even gone around in your mind, is why does the church exist? And does it really benefit the Christian? Does it really benefit me as a Christian? Why does the church exist? And does it really benefit me as a Christian? My son likes putting even on the end of words. So he would say, why does the church exist even? You know, if he were to ask that question, which he doesn't ask that question yet. Look at somebody and say, the world needs answers. Look at somebody else and say, your neighbor needs answers. Your coworker needs answers. That's why it's important for us to look at the Word of God, because He gives us answers. So I want to give you 5 reasons the church exists. Is that all right? Now, this is not an extensive or an exhaustive list, but I'm going to give you 5 reasons that God gave me to give you today. 5 reasons the church exists. Are you ready? Number 1, the church exists to fulfill the commands of Christ. The church exists to fulfill the commands of Christ. Matthew 28:19 says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of this age. So who is Jesus sending? Disciples. Raise your hand if you're a disciple of Jesus. That should be everybody in the room right now. So He's sending us, not as individuals, He's sending us as a group. He's sending a group of disciples to make other groups of disciples. It's never individualized. It's always a concept of going together. And so the church exists to facilitate the commands of Christ. We have orders, we have a leader in Jesus, but we also need a base, a headquarters, an outpost. We need something. If you think about it, think about trying to fulfill a mission and there's no base camp. There's no headquarters, there's no place to call back to, there's no place to reconvene or get new gear or get new strategies or get fed, get rested. The church is the hub for all Christian activity upon the earth. The church is the place that helps people fulfill the commands of Christ. Imagine Jesus trying to assemble an army. How many remember when you were a kid and you sang, I'm in the Lord's army? Imagine Jesus trying to assemble an army and there's no infrastructure. There's no place that people can come. There's no leadership. It's just a bunch of different people going in a bunch of different directions. What the church gives is sustainability and stability to carry out the commands of Christ. So number 1, the church exists to fulfill the commands of Christ. Number 2, the church exists to provide community. This is a big one. 1 Thessalonians 5:12 says, "And we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you." Know those that labor among you. Now, some of us men got together. We had a cookout yesterday. It was awesome. We ate some good food. We ate some ribs. We ate some. And if you were a man and you didn't come, we ate your food. I'm sorry. We ate your food. But we were getting together and having community and knowing one another. Knowing one another. How can we know those that labor among us? How can we know those that are also doing the work of God if there's no place for us to meet together to know one another? So the church provides community. It's hard to know people that you don't hang out with. So the church gives a place that we can know, really know each other. Know each other like us, others that have made a decision for Christ like you. And community gives us encouragement, accountability, stability, love, and much more. And the church community is there so you don't have to walk alone. Because ultimately, at the end of the day, the devil wants you to be alone. He wants you to feel alone. And God wants you to be surrounded with other people of like faith that will encourage you and strengthen you. And God wants to surround you with people that love you and support you. That's called the church. When God surrounds you with a group of people that are challenging you and helping you grow, that's called the church. That's called the church. That's what happens in a church. So number two, the church exists to give us community. Number three, the church exists to equip Christians. This is key. Ephesians 4:11 says, "Now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church." Gave to who? Gave to individuals? Gave to the church. The apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, the teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. Who are they building up? The church. What gifts did God give the church? Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. So if you're not a part of the church, if you're not going to church, then you're not getting equipped the way that you need to get equipped. And I guarantee you that friend that is a Christian that doesn't go to church is less equipped than you if you're going to church. Why? Because the church is where people get equipped. And the enemy wants to sell us this idea that we can do Christianity without being a part of a church. But let me tell you, it doesn't work. Because at the end of the day, you're not equipped to do what you need to do. Sporadic attendance will make you less knowledgeable and understanding less of the Word of God. You can have a Bible, you can tuck that Bible underneath your arm, carry that Bible around with you everywhere, but do you really know how to use that Bible? Do you know how to apply the Word of God? Do you know how to apply the promises of God? That's what happens in the equipping process that happens in a church. When we're connected to the church, in the church we become more familiar with the promises and the power of God. Which leads me to the fourth thing. The church exists to give you power. Look at somebody, say power. Say it real loud. Power. Power. Matthew 16:18 says, "Now I say to you that you are Peter," which means rock. "And upon this rock I will build my church, and all the powers of hell will not conquer it." So the gates of hell, meaning the authority and the power of hell. The authority and the power of darkness, the authority and the power of the devil cannot win against the church. Now, here's the revelation. It never says that the authority and the gates of darkness will not prevail against individuals. It doesn't say that. And see, that's what gets lost in the shuffle in popular culture. They miss that point. They miss that. That's a big headline. All the powers, all the strategy, all the darkness, all the devil's forces and troops and ideas and sabotage and subterfuge that come against the church will not prevail. But against an individual, it's difficult. It's difficult when you're alone. You see, you can be powerful, but there's always a legal loophole when you're disobedient. You can be strong, but you left the back door open. You could have 7 locks on your front door, but you left a window open when you were in disobedience in a particular area in your life. You can't be more than a conqueror if you're not obeying all the commands of Christ, because you got to be in Christ to be more than a conqueror. How can you be fully in Christ? You're not a part of Christ's body. In that moment that we're acting in our own ability, with our own ideas of faith, we're out there on our own. Because God doesn't support our own ideas about faith. God supports His ideas about faith. God doesn't bless our ideas about faith. God blesses His ideas about faith. Amen? And even when we give, and even when we tithe, God blesses His ideas of covenant, not our ideas and our constructs. And so, if you want the gates of hell not to prevail in your life, in your family, the best thing that you can do is get standing with other believers. Get inside the church. Get aligned with the church. Because God promises in His word, when we get together in unity, that the gates of hell will not prevail. There's so many scriptures. It says a threefold cord is not easily broken. Can I tell you, the devil wants you to operate by yourself. God doesn't bless commandos all out by themselves. God blesses unity. Five. This is one of the biggest ones. The church exists to give you an eternal reward. The church exists to give you an eternal reward. Now, I'm not here to kick people out of heaven today. But I want to tell you this. How many believe Jesus is returning? Amen. When Jesus returns, can I tell you He's returning for a bride? Not individuals. Not individuals with individual agendas that were too busy to be a part of whatever God started with Jesus. He's coming back for a unified group of people called the body of Christ, called the church, called the bride. Jesus returning. It says in Ephesians 5:25, husbands, this means love your wives. Listen, just as Christ loved the church, He gave up His life for her to make her holy and clean, washed by the cleansing of God's word. He did this to present her to Himself as a glorious church without spot and wrinkle or any other blemish. Instead, she will be holy and without fault. When we're in the church and we're obeying the commands of Christ, we're now getting lined up to be holy and without wrinkle and without blemish. And we're ready for what Jesus has got next. We're ready for the next chapter with Jesus. But you see, if we're not aligned with His body, if we're not aligned with His bride, you know, Jesus looking to present a church, a bride to Himself. Jesus returning for a body of believers. And if we disconnect from the bride, we're missing the whole point. If we disconnect from the church, we're missing the greater game plan. We're missing the end game. It's all right. It's like 10% of everybody got this guy. It's all right. If we're too busy for the bride, we need to stop and reevaluate how we look at faith and put the value on things that Jesus puts the value on. When we're obedient to God, God blesses us. God blesses what we're doing in our lives. God blesses our journey. When we're obedient, God blesses us. When we're disobedient, the Bible says that God is patient. How many know that when you have a good father, He's patient? It doesn't mean that He doesn't have rules. It doesn't mean that eventually you're going to need to follow those rules. It just means that He's being patient. And so sometimes we go through seasons when we're disobedient. to what God has told us to do and asked us to do and clearly puts in his word, but he's patient with us. But don't mistake that patience for God changing the rules. It says in this word of God, and it says in the word of God, actually, Jesus said this, says, you know, heaven and earth will pass away, but not one word. Ooh. So that means when the sun wears out, when the earth wears out, his word still remains. The word of God, the promises of God, and the law of God still remains. So God is merciful. God is patient. God helps us get back into alignment with the word. And that's what God did with Jesus. Jesus is not a cop-out that we don't have to do the law. What he did was he provided a way for us to line back up with the law, to line back up with the house rules. At the end of the day, God's commands are God's commands. How many are just glad that God is a patient Heavenly Father? I just thank God every day that he was patient with me. And he's patient with us, even when we don't get it, even when we don't understand everything. He's faithful to continue to push us in the right direction. But at the end of the day, it's important that we're obedient. It's different when we don't understand. You can't walk out of today and say, well, I don't understand the church. You've been explaining the church. This is who we are. This is who the church is. It's different when you don't know and you're in ignorance about something and you handle yourself one way. It's another thing when you know better. God wants us to be knowledgeable about his plan. God wants us to know the intention that he has for his church. And God loved us so much. The word of God says he gave us the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit gives us the strength to be unified, gives us the strength to come together. And it says he leads us into all truth. It's going to give us the revelation so that we understand why we need to work together and why we need to be the church. And so I'm praying today that the Holy Spirit open up each and every one of our eyes. Let us see what his intention for the church is. Let us see that it was him that founded it. It wasn't man. It wasn't some good idea that we came up with a few hundred years back ago. It's something that Jesus said upon this revelation of me being the Messiah. I'm going to build a people. I'm going to build a church. Eventually that church is going to become my bride. I'm going to return for a bride that has done the finished work. And none of us are more important than the church. But all of us together can be part of the church. Jesus' prayer was this: Father, make them one. Then the world will know. So when we align as a community of faith, it is a witness that points back to the Messiah. When we're not unified and we're not together and we're not the church, it does not point to the Messiah. It points to a lot of different people saying a lot of slightly different things. But when we come together as the church, Jesus said, Father, make them one. One church, one body. When we work together, when we grow together, we're one. And I thank God for the church. I thank God for the church. And every day I fall more in love with his church. Not just this local church, but his church and his vision for what he has for his people. Will you stand with me today? I want God to get us to the place where it's not, I have to go to church, but it's, I get to go to church. I have the opportunity to be a part of something God is doing. I have the privilege of being called one in the church. Will you bow your heads with me today? Father, thank you, God, for all your people and how you've called us together to be your church. God, us that are meeting together in this room and people that are meeting together in rooms like this all across the world. Some that are able to do it on Sundays, some people that have to do it on other days. God, I thank you, Lord, that you would just make us one. Help us to understand your vision of what the church is, the vision of Christ, that off of a revelation of the identity of Jesus, we would come together as a community so that the world would know, so that the gospel would go forward, so that your commands would be fulfilled. So God, we thank you for the church. We thank you, Father, that we're be able to be a part of it. God, we commit to what you're doing. And if we're already committed, God, we recommit. If we haven't been committed like we should be, God, we commit to your church, to your plan, not man's plan, your plan for your church. God, let us know what we're here to do. Let us be able to articulate who we are as the church. And let us be ready in season, out of season, anytime, at the job, at work, with the family, with friends, who we are as your church and what your identity is as Jesus. And as we have our heads bowed, maybe you're saying, Pastor, I feel a little bit disconnected from Jesus. I feel a little bit disconnected from my faith. I felt like I had it at one moment, and some way I just kind of got disconnected, and I want to reconnect with Jesus today. I know I need to reconnect with Jesus. I need to make sure that I'm in the right place with him. Maybe you're saying today to me, I don't know if I've ever been in the right place with him, but I want to do it today. Just slip up your hand. I want to pray with you right where you are. Amen. 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 That's a beautiful thing. That's a beautiful thing. If you lifted your hands, I want you to pray this prayer with me, and you can all say this prayer with me. Jesus, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for where I missed it. I'm sorry for when I disconnected. I want to connect with you. I want to connect with your church. Thank you for dying on the cross for me, for suffering for me, for taking away my sins and reconnecting me with a loving Father. Teach me how to live like you did. Teach me how to be connected to your church, to your commands, to your vision. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to the Hope United podcast. Be sure to visit hopeunited.church for more exciting content.